The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hello, pod people. It's Sam Smith. Welcome back to another whatever it is I do here. Anyway, I wanted to talk this week about it's been a subject. It really hasn't come up much, so probably try to stay with me. I know you haven't heard much about this. Derek Rose's recovery from his knee surgery. I don't know if you've read or heard much about it. No, really, this is truly gotten out of control. I've really never, and I know the media has changed. Of course, it's that's also why I'm here with Bulls.com. But and there's social media, whatever that is. But I know there's a lot of additional voices out there and more opinions. But now I've only been watching basketball seriously since about 56 or 57, Kenny Sears of my Knicks back then was my favorite player. I think it was because he looked like he did stuff that I could do. He kind of moved in slow motion, even though he led the Knicks in scoring. Although, as I recall, he basically finished last every year anyway. But, you know, we're halfway through the 8 to 12 months that Dr. Cole initially said that would be the time period for Derek's possible return to basketball. And actually, we're not even quite halfway through because he had his surgery like May 18th or something like that. So we're just halfway through this, the 8 to 12 month period, about 10 months. Back in the press conference back then, Dr. Cole said, you know, Derek wouldn't be able to do the things he did before in 8 to 12 months, and that, you know, full recovery should be in the 12 to 18 month period, which is the summer and next season. But there has been this incredible backlash of sorts that either Derek should come back or is not tough and doesn't want to play. And this is really unprecedented in the history of the league. There's never been anything like this. Yes, I know Derek was the NBA and is the MVP, and they haven't been NBA MVP is seriously hurt as a young player like this. But, you know, I do remember major injury. Magic had a serious knee injury his second year after he played center in that last game of the finals in 1980 and missed much of that next season. There wasn't daily updates. There wasn't questions about Magic every day. When's he going to be back? Does he want to play or not? You know, Wilt missed almost a whole season when he went to the Lakers in 69-70. Bird missed, I remember the season Bird missed, I think it was like 88, missed 76 games. There wasn't daily updates about it. There wasn't questions about whether he wanted to play or not, whether he was mentally tough or not. So this is, you know, this is really shockingly amazing. I mean, a lot of it is kind of come in the last few days. There was and that's the other thing, there was a sourced, quote, sourced report about Derek being cleared to play. You know, the notion being, well, you know, now he can play. He just doesn't want to play. Well, first of all, it didn't come from a doctor, and it didn't come from the Bulls. And you would think in something that serious where the notion was that Derek was actually ready to play, cleared for full play, that somebody would at least do more than, you know, this is just background sources. You know, when Dr. Cole did his press conference a year ago, there was a lot of buts. You know, Derek can do this, but, and Derek can do that, but. You know, I remember back, I think it was 09, with Lou Aldang's stress fracture issue, you know, which tarnished his reputation a lot. But, you know, the medical report, I mean, had MRI, and, you know, it hadn't shown up, and the Bulls actually issued a press release at the time saying the MRI was negative. You know, but he had to do some work on it. You know, Lou ended up going for And the second opinion ended up resting, which the Bulls weren't opposed to. You know, the notion was this, they were just stating at the time, as I recall, this is where it is now. He needs more work. You know, if he can get through it and play through it, he can play. If he can't, he doesn't. And strikes me that that's exactly where Derek is. And Lou didn't play that year, sat out the playoffs, you know, and there was much question. And now I don't think anybody would question the toughness and the mental, the heart and the determination to play that Ding has, you know, basically playing with a fracture of sorts on his wrist for almost like a year now. So it suggests that Derek Rose doesn't want to play. I don't remember exactly what year it was. I think it was in the mid or late 70s. It was a pitcher for the Houston Astros named James Rodney Richard. He was the best pitcher in baseball at the time, or as good as any, you know, in an era with great pitchers. And I think he was leading strikeouts, big, big guy, like 6'8", overpowering, 95-plus fastball. He had something wrong with him, and local media was questioning him, calling him a slacker. You know, there was rumors or mumblings out of the organization. You know, so they sort of pushed him to play and pitch. And he pitched, and he ended up having a stroke. He nearly died, and his career was basically over. Tried to come back after that. And I remember years ago hearing Jerry Reinsdorf talk about that, you know, connection with the White Sox. And the point he always made was, if an athlete says he's hurt, he's hurt. You don't question that. And every indication I've gotten with Derek is that's where they are. When Derek feels he can play, he's the one who knows. That's why from the beginning, and Derek has said it himself, it's been left up to him that he has to say when he's ready to play. Just like Deng in 09 couldn't play because he knew. I know an awful lot of people on blogs and Twitter are professional athletes. Well, maybe they're not. But if you're not a professional athlete, you have no idea what it is to be a professional athlete. And, you know, these guys' bodies are their careers and their lives. To go out there and to play when you know you're hurt, it's not about mental weakness. It's not about not wanting to play. It's about, you know, if you feel something wrong with your body, you're going to be tentative until you feel right. And it's not about, you know, go get out here, tough it out. You know, here's the other thing, too. You know, Derrick Rose, forget the organization part, that he's such an important part to the Bulls in the future and his beginning of his contract. You know, this is his career and his life. Say, you know, he goes out and something happens. Okay, he's done with basketball and everybody moves on. They find new players to root for. Team moves on. You know, Jay Williams got hurt. His career ended in that motorcycle accident. You know, it was unfortunate. It was a blow. But they continued to play basketball. So, you know, so Rose has to be really cautious on this. And you know, I applaud him for being like that. And, maybe I'll make my public service announcement here. I think the Bulls value you pod people out there much more than my readers, because they asked me to read some stuff. I appreciate that. They never asked me anything. I'm not even sure they know who I am sometimes, but they said, well, you can find these weekly podcasts at bulls.com and iTunes, and subscribing to the Sam Smith podcast, that's me, Sam Smith, on iTunes is the easiest way to get the new episodes every week. I mean, I sound like Neil Funk on Comcast reading these things, huh? And while in iTunes, oh, this is an interesting part. If you like the podcast, please remember to give us a reason, a review, and a ranking. I guess if you don't like it, you should do that too. And they didn't mention that to me. And they also asked me to mention some letters. And I've been getting a lot of these, you know, about Rose. And here was one, you know, it was an interesting one. James Knievel. Well, it's interesting because he knows where I'll be coming from. I'm about 95.5% sure. Michael Jordan, Phil is always like 99. Jordan was always 99.9 on his things. You're going to completely dismiss this premise because you see firsthand how hard the kid works and how passionate he is about basketball. But are you at all concerned about the mental toughness of Derrick Rose? More specifically, his ability to lead and deal with adversity, because I am. I know he's still young, and leadership and mental toughness are attributes that can be acquired over time, but I feel like injuries and the questions that surround them, I don't read that well, aren't going aren't going to completely go away for him moving forward. He's never like, okay, you know, that's essentially what I was alluding to before. I mean, this is just stupid. You know, this notion has been, again, propagated in the public about this, that, you know, Derek is not tough enough to play. I mean, this kid is amazingly Philly. If you saw the hits, he go in, launched himself in the air up at Dwight Howard a couple of times, taking falls from, you know, six, seven feet in the air, flat on his back, willing to go up to it again. You know, coming into a team of veterans, not being afraid to take big shots, miss big shot after big shot, you know, still come talk about it. Always accessible with the media. I mean, this is a really, really tough kid. Mature in a lot of ways, but still a kid. And I think that's part of it too. You know, he's got, everybody else has an agenda. I'll give you a little lesson in life here now. Everybody who talks about caring for you, I'm not saying they don't care for you, but their priority has to be, is generally themselves. So you view those things, you know, through the prism of, you know, very natural, you know, people's self-interest. And so the coaches have interests, the other players have interest, the agents have interest. And those, they all say, well, you know, we're concerned about Derek. They're concerned about themselves first, and that's just human nature. So Derek has to be concerned about himself first because it's his career, you know, and if everybody's going to go on, if his career were over, the coaches will go on, the teams go on, the other players will go on, the agents will go on, you know, and Derek won't go on. And so it's not about being unsure. So the other part is he's getting a tremendous amount of information from other people and by, you know, exhibiting their own biases in effect by saying he should do this because this is what they would do. And of course, you know, I have an opinion, you know, necessarily what I would do. I haven't offered it to him. I haven't suggested it. I don't think it's my place to do that. And I wouldn't, you know, I've talked to him as other media guys around the team have casually. He's the same as he always has been. He's very accessible, you know, as at the game in LA Sunday. And I was talking to him a little bit and then he was leaving to go back to the locker room and Doris Burke, the sideline reporter or analyst on the broadcast stopped him. And, you know, he just chatted. And so then, now this thing came up about his hamstrings were burning. And actually, I was talking to Vinny Del Negro after because they had a doubleheader in Staples Center. And so I stayed around to watch some of the Clippers and see Vinny and Jamal Crawford. And Vinny was saying, you know, you're out a year. That's natural. You know, he hasn't played basketball in a year. So when you start getting back to it, and remember, the Bulls are not scrimmaging. You know, he said, well, he's in 5-on-5 stuff. I mean, they don't even have 10 players. You know, you got a third of the team injured. You know, and so he you know, when he works out, a lot of these workouts now, he's pushing himself. He hasn't had a chance to push himself yet because they haven't, you know, really been able to do that. So having these feelings like this is difficult, and it takes a while to get in shape, and he's going to have these things. But my point is, you know, when somebody asks him something, he responds. You know, he's not being secretive. And, you know, there was this notion that stuff was leaked, you know, to make him look bad, which, of course, that makes no sense at all. You know, why would anybody want to sort of embarrass him? But I do know, actually, you know, who were the other assassins in the Kennedy assassination. Maybe I'll do that on a future podcast. So now, anyway, so let me talk a little bit about the Bulls. Well, before I mention, get into the Bulls, you know, they lost to the Lakers. And of course, the Lakers are now, looks like they're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, I sort of had some fun with some speculation in my Monday NBA column, which is not exactly on a podcast. So you'd have to read that. And that would be good, you know, good help for future spelling. Because I read Twitter sometimes, and my basic understanding now is very few Americans can spell anymore. And I have mostly correct spellings in there. But, you know, Kobe's having a terrific season, no question. But as I was making the point, this was the organization when Shaq was the more popular player. They got rid of Shaq because he was the older player and he wasn't their future. And they kept Kobe at the time he was going through a criminal assault trial. So Kobe's got one more year on his deal at $30 million. They're facing paying $80 million in luxury tax next season. Jerry Buss recently died, and you know, the state tax issues potentially hanging over the, even though I heard they were taken care of by Jerry Buss, there's still issues with the six children who sort of share in the team now. And the Lakers certainly want to keep Dwight Howard, but indications I keep hearing around the NBA is, and it would be no secret, he's uncomfortable in L.A. Of course, I would be in the same locker room with Ron Artest anytime anyway, but that's another issue. And there's several teams going to make a run at him, a strong run. Houston is lining up, and I think Houston's got a real chance to turn themselves into a major power if they can pull this off with Harden, if they can get Howard. I know everyone's down on Howard, but he's still a really effective star player. You know, and they can make moves and trade Omer Asik, who's now has a very high reputation around the league, and Jeremy Lin, who hasn't been playing fourth quarters probably for the last couple of weeks. And if you could turn those two guys into a strong power forward and, you know, maybe a shooter, you know, that would be a championship team. And that's what, you know, Maury's always been talking about there. And Atlanta, where he's from, I know his family sort of pushing him to come back there, feels that he's been treated badly out in L.A. And the Nets, are, despite what they say, are going to be back in it. They can tell they're not a championship team. Brooke Lopez was sort of accidental all-star. Darren Williams and Joe Johnson, not where they were. So they're probably going to try to. So Lakers are going to have, you know, a lot of competition. And I think their biggest case is going to be to say, look, and we're going to build it around you. And we can't afford to bring back Kobe at $30 million anyway. And he's probably not going to like the idea of taking a cut and pay from us. And so, you know, you can see in another year, Kobe being out on the market. And two times in the past, in 07, he openly demanded to be traded to the Bulls. In 04, when he ended up as a free agent re-signing with the Lakers, Jerry Reinsdorf and John Paxson came in because he asked him. He said he was interested then in either the Bulls, among the Bulls, the Clippers, or the Lakers. So he's always had this interesting relationship with the Bulls. I think it has to do with he would like to break Jordan's records in Chicago as far as championships. I mean, Kobe's that way. He's the only one I've ever run into in the NBA has the mentality like Michael Jordan. We'll do anything to beat you, and we'll take on any challenge, and is not afraid of anything, will not run from anything. And so, I mean, I don't necessarily, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and who knows 2 years from now and things change, but, you know, there's a lot of little hints, you know, kind of in that thing. And you know, it doesn't take much more than that to let me get going. And speaking of going, Bulls, a couple of days off after L.A., they head into Sacramento, and that's a frightening place. I mean, it could be their last game ever in Sacramento because, it's, you know, still talk about the team moving to Seattle, and they'll make the presentations that the Sacramento and Seattle new ownership, potential ownership there 1st of April, and the owners, I think, vote April 18th about a potential relocation. And I know the Bulls are loading up with tranquilizers and Ritalin, you know, to try to help DeMarcus Cousins in that game if necessary. And then they finish their trip Friday in Golden State. Another team that's kind of been fading, you know, I mean, it's had a really good season considering Bogut has basically missed the whole season, and they traded Monte Ellis to build a defense around Bogut. So that would finish up the trip. Been difficult, you know, San Antonio's tough game, Lakers, obviously, Indiana. So, you know, with all the injuries, but, you know, there's a chance Heinrich could be back by the end of the week, Chance Gibson, maybe at the end of the week, early next week. And then the Bulls have a little bit of a home stretch, and yeah, their view is, you know, if they can get healthy at that point sometime in March, and, you know, they make a little bit of run. And look, Derrick Rose could be playing at some point, but at this point, you know, with hamstring issues, with some knee problems still he's feeling, it's certainly a time to be cautious. And I know, at least in my case, I'm being cautious whenever I can, but that's only because I move slowly. So anyway, thanks for hanging in there, if you have, and I will get back to you next week.